Hello everyone. This is Word Made Alive. Jerry Combs, your host, coming at you again with another message. Today we're going to be talking about the wiles of the devil and how that we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we just thank you again for one more time to come together, Father, over your word. And Lord, we just thank you for the freedom we have in this country, Father, to read and study your word, Father. And Lord, we just ask that as we open up your bread of life, Father, that you will pour your spirit upon each and every one of us, and everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. And Lord, that you would just give us the understanding that we need, Father, to apply this to our lives daily. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start in Ephesians. Chapter 6. And the 11th verse. Well, I'll probably be pretty familiar with this. But it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And you know, over in Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus gives us a funny little word, a little nugget that he gives us. He tells us, and that's going to be Matthew 10, the 16th verse, and he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and yet harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you know, we all need to beware of men, because more trouble comes from men. Even Paul, when he talks about his perils, he mentions perils with false brethren. So we all need to be aware that, not everyone that says that they're a believer is a believer. That's why we're to test the spirits and to watch the fruit. But Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents, and yet harmless as doves. And you know, I've thought about this often, and I don't particularly see a serpent as a wise animal. When I think of a wise animal, I think more of an owl, or maybe an elephant, or an eagle maybe. You know, these are wise animals. But a serpent, I wouldn't particularly call a serpent wise, because a serpent is a beguiler. A serpent is tricky. A serpent, the whole makeup of a serpent, they're designed to blend into their background. And they hunch down and they wait till their prey gets in striking distance. And out of nowhere, they strike out at him and attack them. See, that to me, that's not wisdom. That's wiles. That's trickery. That's pretty much the tools of the devil. He waits to catch us in a snare. You know, over and over again in the Psalms, it talks about people that are trying to catch other people, men especially, in their snares. You know, the snare of the fowler, the guy that's trying to catch birds with these snares. See, that's how Satan operates. Satan waits. And so what I think Jesus is saying here is we need to be wise to the serpent's techniques and the serpent's ways of beguiling us and his wiles. That's why it says to, in Ephesians there, what we read, it says to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I want to go back and I want to look in the Old Testament and it's in Isaiah, and it's talking about King Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah, I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but King Hezekiah was one of the best, up against David, he was the second best king. He was even better than Solomon, in that he served the Lord and he loved the Lord. And when Hezekiah came into power, he began tearing down the places of the false gods that the people of Israel had been serving and that the kings before him had set up for the people. And so in God's eyes, this is the man that God wants on the throne. This is what God wants. He wants these high places tore down. And a lot of times it's because of these high places that judgment comes on the children of Israel. But here in Isaiah, in the 36th chapter, I'm just going to begin reading because we got quite a bit of reading here. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Then came forth unto him Elekiah, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Number one, he's coming up against our faith. See, he's saying, what are you trusting in? What is this that you think that you're trusting in? Verse 5, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? He says, I'm ready to war right now. I've got in the flesh, I've got everything I need to take you out right now. And that's how Satan comes up against you. He doesn't come up against us in whisper. He comes up against us full bore. He comes up against us with bills and with mortgages and with job losses and with sickness and disease. And he comes with a full word of, you're dying, or you're losing your house, or you're losing your job, or it's over. You know, how many times as Christians do we find ourselves caught in this situation where we think it's over, there's no hope? See, that's how Satan comes. Satan comes to you, and he full out wants you to just fall. That's why in Isaiah it says, when you've done all else to stand, stand therefore, girded about with the things of that you need, your salvation, your righteousness, the gospel of peace. In other words, do those things that you know what to do. What the things that are right in your life that you know that God has led you to do, continue in those things when you find yourselves in this type of situation. And you know what? In seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness, God will take care of our problems, and He always does. But here is Rabshakeh, and he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, that's what he's doing. He's sitting outside the walled city, trying to see if he can get them just to open up the door. Just to say, oh, it's all, you know, it's gloom and doom. We might as well just fold now. And, you know, a lot of Christians do fold. Verse 6. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, wherein if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Now he's trying deception. See, we know that Hezekiah is not trusting in Egypt. Maybe kings of Israel in the past may have trusted in Egypt. But see, Hezekiah is a man of God. And Hezekiah is trusting in the Lord, like Moses did, and like Joshua did, and David did, the men of old. He's coming back to that. He's coming back to that faith, that the faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, the faith of Jacob, the faith of Joseph, the faith that says, no matter what I see, no matter how it looks, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to let the Lord take care of the rest. And that's the next thing he says. He says, but if thou say to me, we trust, see, he's hitting all the bases. And that's how the devil does. He's going to try all the holes. He's going to try all the locks on your house to see, did you lock all your windows? Did you get all your doors locked? Is everything secure? See, and that's why we as Christians, we need to make sure, we need to be diligent to be praying and fasting and reading, so to make sure that we're secure when these times of trial come against us. He says, but if you say we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. See, the world wants us to think that all religions can get you to heaven. The world wants you to think that, you know, maybe you ought to hedge your bet and pray to some other gods. Maybe you should pray to your God, fine. See, but you know, you might want to hedge your bet. You might want to try to pray to some other God. See, but our God is the only God that says, I am a jealous God. I will not be intermingled with any other God, because there, all those other gods are not gods. I am the one true God. Our God is the Creator God. He is the I Am. When Moses said, I need a name to take to your people, God said, I am that I am. That's my name. Go take that to your people. In other words, I am everything that you need. Whatever it is that you find yourself, wherever your situation is, whatever you're dealing with right now, whether it be addiction, whether it be foreclosure, whether it be a job loss, whether it be hunger, prison, whatever your situation is, God says, I am everything you need. I'm the key that will unlock the door of your prison. I'm the check that's gonna pay your bills. I'm the medicine that's gonna make you well. I am that I am. And I am all that you need. See, but the world comes and says, well, maybe there's some other way. You know, who are you to say that your way is the only? Well, we don't say that. God told us that. The first law that God laid down, he said, thou shalt have no other God but me. You shall serve no other God. There is no other God but me. That's rule number one. And the second one, the first one is love thy God. And the second one is love thy neighbor. Verse 8, now therefore give pledges, I pray you, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you be able on your part to set riders upon them. So now the devil comes. See, the all-out assault didn't work this time. But he had to check the doors. He had to make sure the windows were bolted, and there wasn't no easy way to finish this. See, the devil's all about the easy way. He doesn't want to work. He wants it to be laid at his feet. So now he's checked all the doors. He's made sure all the windows are secure. And see, Hezekiah hasn't came out to him. So he says, well, you know, let's compromise. And that's always the way. That's always the way the devil does. He wants to, if he can't get you out and out to walk away from God, then he brings compromise. And he waters you down till really you might as well have walked away. And this happens many, many times, and it's happened to me, and you know that, and the Lord will convict you, and you'll realize, you know, I've got to get that compromise out of my life. And I can't compromise anymore. Because you know, God says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. See, why does he say that? Why does he say, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm? See, because when you're cold, that's when that fire is going to start to come. When you're cold, that's when the judgment's going to come. And that's when things are going to come to spur you along to say, you know, I better get back in line with God because I need him. God's going to show you that you need him. He's going to show you in ways that, you know, might hurt a little bit. Verse 9, how then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Again, he's like Satan when he came into the garden. He not only lied on what God said, he lied and he manipulated it. It was a lie and a manipulation. He questions God. He says, has God said? Then he says, that thou shalt not eat of any of the fruit of the garden. See, that's not what God said. See, he questioned God. And then he's questioning God on a question that's a lie, because it's not what God said. See, because God said you can eat of all the fruit of the garden except for the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan said, hath God said you can't eat of none of this fruit? See, and that's how Satan comes in. He comes in with lies and manipulation. So he's saying, You know, you really can't stand against me anyway. You might as well just give in. You know, I'm just saying a little compromise here. I'm not asking you to give up the whole city. I just want you to say, you know, make a pact with me. You know, a pact with the devil. That's all I'm asking for. But you know, we as Christians, we want to make our pact with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say, Lord, I give you everything I have and I ask nothing in return. That's the kind of deals we should be making. And am I, verse 10, and am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. See, and here's another deception that the devil comes with. I'm a believer too. See, I'm serving the Lord too. And you don't know how many times I've seen that. I've seen people come up and, oh, I'm a Christian too. But I do this and I do that and I do this. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that doesn't line up with my Bible. You know, that you're drinking and you're drugging and you're cheating around on your wife. I mean, that's not the kind of Christianity I have, you know. But see, the devil, as long as you'll listen, he'll tell you whatever you want to hear to get you to do what he wants you to do. It says, am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me. See, and again, he's almost like a false prophet. He says he's bringing a word from the Lord. Verse 11, then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto your servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. And this is a very tricky verse. This is very tricky, because, and this is another wile of the devil. They're saying, we want you to speak Syrian because we can understand it. And because they're the leaders of Israel. See, but then there's the common man. You know, say he's a new convert. Say he's a new disciple. And he's up on wall duty. And he's hearing everything that they're saying. See, but you don't want your new convert. You want to protect your new converts. You want to protect your new disciples. You want to protect your little ones from the devil. And we do that as a family, as a church. You know, we try to protect those that are weaker. See, but the devil has no care for that. He's going to try to get at everyone. And see, what he'd like to do is make if he can't get the leadership to bow down, what he wants to do is cause division and strife within the walls, so that eventually Hezekiah will have no options but to open the door and let him in. And that's how the devil does. If he can't get the pastor, if he can't get the deacons, then he's going to come against the lay people. He's going to come against the new converts, and he's going to sow division and he's going to sow strife. This is a perfect picture of how Satan operates. And he operates this way. This is thousands of years ago. And he's operating the same. His techniques haven't changed. Nothing, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Verse 12, but Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? And you know, when you're captive in a fenced city like this, and you're surrounded, you know, this was an inevitability that did happen. But what he's trying to do again is he's trying to sow fear into those people, into those soldiers, those new converts that are on the wall. And again, he's trying to sow division. He's trying to put the fear into them. See, but we're not to live by fear. We live by faith. We should live by, not only should we have to live by faith. Because if you don't live by faith, then you're going to fall apart. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. When we realize just how much God loves us, and we come to the place where we love God with all of our heart, then we know that everything, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. See, we know that no matter what we're facing today, God is going to work that out for our benefit. God is going to work that out for our good. Okay. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me." Again, he's saying, let's do some compromise here. He says, "Make an agreement with me by a present." He says, you know, just give me one little thing. You know, it's okay. Because what he wants to do, he wants to get his toe in the door. As soon as he gets his toe in the door. And, you know, again, he's gonna come big, then he's gonna come a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller. See, he is roaring lion, seeking whom he may. See, that word may, that is a permission word. That means he's looking to see who will give him permission. And once he gets the permission, then he has the power. That's really what he got from Eve and Adam. He got their permission. They bowed to him. And in doing so, they gave away the earth and the air. That's why the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He rules this because Adam and Eve flinched. They gave him a toe. They gave him a present, and that's all it took. And that's why we're in the situation we are today. We're in the situation of sin. And we need a Savior, and that's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He came to repair what man had wounded and what Satan had wounded. Verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 36. "Thus saith the Lord, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you." So he's coming up against the man of God now. He's coming up against the pastor. And he's saying, you know what? That's a false pastor you got there. He's no good. He's lying to you. See, again, he's trying to cause division and strife. "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat you every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink you every one of the waters of his own cistern." He's saying, you know what? Let's just end this now. It's okay. You know, we'll be friends. And you can come on out right now and drink your water and harvest your grapes. You know, why let us trot them over with our horses and our feet? You know, we'll let you come out now. But, you know, as Satan only comes for three things. That's what Jesus said. He said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. See, and he is the father of lies. So as soon as he would have got them out of that city, he would have probably destroyed every one of them. Because he would have made a point, because they didn't open up the doors right away. Verse 17, now I come and take you away, and it said, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. He's saying, you know what? And then what we're going to do, see, we're going to take you away, but we're going to take you to a place that's just as nice as what you got here. But in reality, that little gift would have turned them into slaves. And that's where they were going to go. They were going to go away to be someone else's servants. The servant of Satan. In the perspective that this is a picture of Satan and how he operates. You know, it only takes, you know, one puff off the crack pipe, and you can become a slave real fast. It only takes one toot up the nose of the cocaine. You know, one little bowl of methamphetamines. It don't take much. And Satan's got you. So we can't compromise, people. We cannot, as the church, we cannot afford to give Satan any more gifts. We can't afford to give him any more time, and we can't afford to give him any more place. We have to stand firm with our faith and with our righteousness and with the preparation of peace. And we need to stand like soldiers and realize that this is just the enemy taunting us, and anything that comes out of his mouth is lies. And anyone that works for him is only spewing lies. And you know how they work for him? If you're not working for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're working for the devil. And I have the verse for that. It's going to be, I believe it's 2 Timothy. Because I think this is an important verse. I think a lot of people need to know this. That's going to be 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25 through 26. And this is Paul talking to Timothy, giving him some instruction. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, they're in the snare of the devil, and Satan can take them captive and use them anytime he desires. So either you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're serving the devil. Back in Isaiah 36, that's going to be verse 18. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Seraphim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Whom are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand. But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. And you know, that's what in Jude it talks about Michael when he was disputing about the body of Moses, didn't bring a railing accusation against Satan. He merely said, the Lord rebuke you. You know, and we shouldn't have too many words for the devil other than, we rebuke you, get under our feet. You know, I mean, that's why Jesus used the word against Satan. But I want you to notice here, he says, where are these gods? You know, I've destroyed all these nations, and they all had gods too. You know, but one of these gods is not like the other. You know, our God, we serve the one true God. And our God is the miracle working God. Our God sent Jesus Christ down here on the earth. God became man and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, died on the cross, and then resurrected himself, and is now sitting in heaven. So, these false gods that have fallen, yeah. You know, the devil's always going to try to tell us our religion is no better than some other religion. You know, if you're serving any other religion than Christianity, then that's the truth. Because they're all the same. You're serving Satan. Our religion says you can't work your way into heaven. You needed a savior. And your savior was Jesus Christ. He came down and died on a cross for us. See, but every other religion says you need to work your way into heaven. See, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's in Ephesians. See, we're saved by grace. We don't work our way into heaven. And we are the only faith on the planet that works that way. All the other ones think that somehow you can be good enough to get into heaven. But you know what? If you have dirty water and you have a dirty cup and you stick your dirty cup in your dirty water and you try to wash, you know, it's all dirty. You got to have something clean. And there's nothing on the face of this earth that's clean. The only thing that was clean was the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And the blood that he shed when they were whipping him. That blood has flowed on this earth. And that's what's washing us clean. It's his blood. His righteous and holy and clean blood that covers us all. And unless you accept his sacrifice and him as your Lord and Savior, then you're not going to make it to heaven. You're going to make it to an everlasting hell. Not because God wants it. See, the Bible says that God doesn't want that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not that God wants you to go to hell, but that you made that decision. He's not going to force you to come to heaven where he is. See, you wouldn't be happy there anyway. If you're not happy praising him and serving him now, then what makes you think that you're going to be happy in heaven? So, we're going to move on over. But here in the 37th chapter, Hezekiah goes and prays in front of Isaiah, and he tells Isaiah, and Isaiah gives him a word from the Lord, and the Lord says, chapter 37, verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servant of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So again, here in verse 14, Hezekiah prays. And then again, Isaiah gives him the word here in verse 21. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at you. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted your voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? See, God is saying, who do you think it is that you're blaspheming here? Are you blaspheming these people in this walled city? Or are you blaspheming me, the one true God? He says, and against whom hast thou exalted your voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? But your servants have thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the heights of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the heights of this border and the forest of this Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged place. See, he's saying, I, again. You know, I know that this is Sennacherib, but you know, I almost have to believe that this is a type of the Antichrist, because he's so full of himself, just like Satan was when he was saying, I'm going to ascend to the Most High. You know, it's all I, I've done this. But see, God gives him a little word here a little further down. He's, verse 25, I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done, and of ancient times that I have formed it? See, now God is saying, now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste, defense city. See, God has flipped the script. God is saying, you know what? I have done this. And I chose you, king of Assyria. Listen to what he says. Now I have brought it to pass that you should be to lay waste, defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know your abode, and your going out, and your coming in, and your rage against me. See, God used Sennacherib as his vessel of dishonor. There in Romans chapter 9 in verse 11, verse 21. Let's go up to 20. Romans 9 and 20. O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And what Paul is saying here is, you know, God, out of the same lump of clay, he can make a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. He can make a saved person, call someone, and he can also use a Hitler to do his eventual will, which, I mean, you know, Hitler was evil and a type of the Antichrist. And yet, if the Holocaust hadn't have happened, you know, the Jews probably wouldn't be in Israel. And that was a pivotal prophecy that had to be fulfilled, that Israel once again come into their nation and become the nation of Israel. You know, so, I Hitler was definitely evil and a servant of Satan. But through that, you know, again, it says all things work together. It doesn't say all things are good, you know. It says, but all things are working together, you know, like a timepiece. I look at God's plan and his prophecies as the universe's timepiece, you know, a beautiful Swiss timepiece that is just chugging along to the eventuality, you know, that we're headed for is in the prophecies, and, you know, Armageddon and the millennial and the judgment seat and all these things, you know, that God prophesied about thousands of years ago. We're just chugging forward, tick tick tick, you know, to the eventualities. So So Sennacherib is learning that God chose him and made him for this time. He says, verse 29 of 37 is Isaiah chapter 37, verse 29. Because your rage against me and your tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by which you came. And this will be a sign unto you: you shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of the host, shall do this. So going forward to 36, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, 185,000 people. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, his false god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So, you know, again, Satan only comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And that even includes his servants. See, here's this guy that's been serving him, doing his bidding, and yet he ends in a bloody death, where his own children, his own flesh and blood, are the ones responsible for his death. And again, God, like I said, he used Sennacherib as a vessel of dishonor to put down these nations that were around Israel, and even to test and try Hezekiah, I would imagine, to see, you know, because number one, what did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah, when trouble came, he went and prayed with the man of God. He went up into the house of God. See, it's all about what we do when these times of trouble happen. We need to remember that we're serving the Most High God. And he says for us to let him know, you know, everything that that we're dealing with. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. And that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 on. But, you know, it's all about what we do. And this message has really been to open the eyes of some people that maybe don't know how Satan works and how he operates. And again, you know, let's just recap. He came up in the beginning and he was looking for a full victory. He was looking for a total defeat on our behalf. You know, he was looking for us to just melt. And you know, when Hezekiah didn't melt, then he starts to try to tries to get us to compromise. And then thirdly, when compromise, when we won't allow compromise into our life, then he starts to try to create division and strife within the house of God. And eventually, you know, he just threatens and huffs and puffs. And if you know, again, he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So I hope this has been a blessing to someone. And you can always email me at leftstrummer at yahoo.com. That's leftstrummer, L-E-F-T-S-T-R-U-M-M-E-R. God bless, and until next time, we love you. Bye.